Jacob was left alone, and the men wrestled with him until the daybreak. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. May I decrease and may you increase. May you make me a nail, and on the nail may you hang the picture of Jesus. So that when I'm going to speak, people will hear words from heaven. And I pray that may you take away humanity and fill me with divinity. That when I proclaim this word, let your will be done in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I think we all know very well the story of Joseph. The story of Jacob. It's a very familiar story. Jacob had a brother. Rebecca and Laban were brothers. Rebecca was the wife of Jacob. Rebecca and Laban, their dad was called Noah. He was the brother of Abraham. And they lived in Haran or in Padan Aram. So when Isaac, the son of Abraham, was about to get married, Abraham sent his son, his servant Eliezer, to go and look for a wife. And when Eliezer was sent to go to Padan Aram, or to Haran, he went and he saw Rebecca. And he also saw Laban, the brother of Rebecca. So Rebecca ended up going together with Eliezer, and they got married with Isaac. The Bible says Rebecca gave birth to twins, Jacob and Esau. And the Bible says there was a fight, or there was a conflict, when the twins were in the womb. And prophecy says, the older shall save the younger. And Jewish tradition says, the one who is older is the one who inherits when the father dies. He's the one who will take over the family. There is what we can call family dynamics. As the boys were growing up, Isaac loved Esau because Esau was a hunter. And Rebecca loved Jacob because Jacob used to love cooking and living in the tents. There is an object lesson. Um, as we bring up our families, we are not supposed to show favoritism. But this was the case. So Jacob knew that his father did not really like him much. And Esau knew that his mom loved Jacob. Bad family dynamics. I don't know how your family is, and I don't know how you treat your kids. No favoritism. We've got to be fair. And when we show favoritism, the kids will see it. And then when they grow, they also show it at times. And once you start doing that, then you end up creating a war amongst your kids as they grow and as you grow older. So there is a lesson there. The Bible says the name Jacob means the one, somebody who is sly or somebody who holds by the heel. And it says when Jacob was coming, Esau came out first, and when Jacob was coming out, he was holding his brother's heel. Now, as the boys were growing up, one day Isaac had grown old. And he decided that he wanted to bless Esau. And Rebecca overheard Jacob, overheard Isaac talking to Esau. And then she quickly ran to Jacob and said, "Hey, I heard what your dad said. May you prepare a meal, and then I'm going to go and give it to your dad." And then Jacob said, if I do that, if I'm going to be caught, there will be a problem. I'm going to be cursed. And then Rebecca said, "Let that curse be on me." This is a mom who is conniving with her son so that they will cheat the father. Family dynamics. I don't know what is the relationship between you and your wife. Do you try to cheat each other? I don't know. But God is saying, we got to be together, we got to be one. Those that are married, they are one in flesh, and I don't know whether they are one in flesh here. When somebody is talking something to the son, and the other one is saying something else. But already, God had predicted that the younger was going to serve the older was going to serve the younger. But because of impatience on part of Rebecca and Jacob, they did not wait on God's timing. They wanted it to fast track the blessing so that they will get the blessing so quick. Another object lesson, you got to wait on God's timing. Don't fast track stuff. Don't cut corners so that you find your way to promotion. What you got to do is wait on God's timing, and then everything will be okay. Now, so there is an object lesson right there. Now, as they went on, what is interesting is Jacob goes into their store, and then he gets a goat and then kills it, and then Rebecca cooks and then brings to Isaac. And then Isaac says, "Who are you?" And Jacob says, "Your son, your firstborn son, Esau." And Jacob says, "The voice is of Jacob, but the body is of Esau." And he went ahead and blessed him. But earlier on, Esau had gone hunting. He came hungry. And then Jacob had what I can call a business transaction. He said to Esau, was hungry, and then Esau says, "Hey, can you I need some soup, I'm hungry, I'm dying. And then Jacob says, well, if you want some soup, I'm going to exchange with your birthright. And Esau exchanged his birthright. That was a crooked business transaction. And once again, Jacob was trying to fast track what God had already predicted. Don't try to cut corners. And that's what this young man was trying to do. Now, when Esau came, and then Isaac says, well, I cannot bless you anymore because the blessing was taken by your brother. Esau became very angry and was planning to kill Jacob. And Rebekah knew it. And now, how do you feel as parents when your child is trying to kill another child, or even when your kids are fighting? I have had my kids fight. It's not a good fight at all. It's so bad when your kids are fighting or they are shouting at each other. But in this case, they wanted to kill each other. Esau was waiting so that when Isaac dies, he was going to kill Jacob. So the mother says, okay, you know what you got to do? Pack quickly, and you need to go to Haran. So Jacob packs quickly, and then he fled to Haran. Right, on his way to Haran, he's a fugitive. He has committed crimes. He's a crook. And now this crook is going to Padan Aram. Now on his way, one day he was sleeping. As he was sleeping, and his pillow was a stone. And it shows you how hard life was when you got a pillow as a stone, and that's where he was lying on. And as he was lying on that stone, then he had a vision. There was a connection with heaven. There was a ladder. The ladder was connecting heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending. And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, oh, surely the Lord is here. And he took oil and then poured on the stone he had made a pillow and called that place Bethel, because the Lord was there. Although this guy was a fugitive, but God was with him. He's God of second chances. What have you done that you think is worse than what Jacob had done? Jacob was sly. He was a crook. Crooked business transactions. He was not a faithful somebody. But God pursued him. Now, when he gets to Haran, there he sees his uncle. And this uncle that he sees, he is another guy who is a crook. This guy was a mess. His name is called Laban. Now, Laban and Rebekah were brothers and sisters. Rebekah lied to Isaac. And Laban was a liar and a crook. They were brothers. Do you know where that points to? To Mama and Papa. I don't know how they were brought by Noah, their father. Because if you've got a daughter who is lying and a son who is a crook, it means there's a way that you brought those people. They may have learned to be crooks from you. So it is important, ladies and gentlemen, that when we are bringing kids, that we always have got to be faithful. At times when we are not faithful, even before the Lord, our kids are going to follow the same example. Look at the way the life of the family of Rebekah was messed up, because she was conniving and she was a liar. And let alone the brother was even worse, he was a liar. Because, okay, Jacob wakes and he says, okay, you can work for me. And he says, okay, what do you want? He says, well, I love your daughter, Rachel. And he works for 7 years. No, 7 years. Working for Rachel. 7 years. And then during the guy says, okay, you know, during the night here, our weddings, we do our weddings during the night. So, you know, there were no lights. So what did he do? He takes Leah and shortchanges Jacob. Jacob did not love Leah. He loved Rebekah. The entire night, Jacob thinks that he has got Rebekah. In the morning, he sees that, well, I've been shortchanged. Well, your uncle is a crook, just like your mom. just like you. So he got the taste of his own medicine. But this time he had worked for 7 years. And then he was told, okay, hey, you can work for another 7 years and then work for Rebecca. He worked 7 years and it comes to 14 years. Right, after the 14 years, the guy now is thinking, no, I may have to go home. And then he says, no, you know what, you got to work another 6 years for your animals. So the guy works for six years, a total of 20 years when you read your Bible very well. 20 years that he worked for Laban. And after working for all that time, Laban keeps on changing. And one day the guy says he got fed up and he says, you know what, he called his wife and he says, you know, his wives, he said, your dad has changed my wages 10 times. Have you ever been tricked? 10 times. Changing the wages. Jacob, they will agree on this and then he changes. When he sees that God is blessing him. And by the way, Laban was getting a blessing from God because he was rubbing his shoulders with a man who was anointed, with the man who God was pursuing. So all the things that Laban was getting, it was because of the presence of Jacob in his household. But now, here's the other problem. Okay, Jacob wakes up in the morning and the angel of the Lord visits him and says, yeah, you got to go back to your country. Then Jacob gets up his children and his wives, then they took off. And here's the problem. When they took off, Laban was not there. He had gone somewhere. And when he comes back, they've gone. Because Jacob is also a crook. He had gone. So Laban was mad. Mind you, when Jacob left his home, he burnt bridges. His mom was dead. His dad was dead. And his brother was at war with him. And now he goes to the in-law here. Laban is mad with him. And now he leaves. So wherever Jacob went, he burnt all the bridges. He had nowhere to go. So Laban was mad. He overtook Jacob. And then when he caught up with them, he said, why did you do this? And then he explained. And after explaining, now this is a crook explaining to a crook. They are both crooks. They have been tricking each other. Now he explained, and then they made a covenant before the Lord that they were not going to pursue each other. But here's another problem. Because Laban was a crook, Jacob's wife, who was the daughter of Laban, was a crook. And you know what she did? On their way, she stole his father's pagan gods. You know, at times when you are not careful, there is a sin that always follow the family. And you got to break that case. And if you do not, they always follow. Rebecca and Laban, crooks. Laban's daughter, a thief. Because when you steal, you're a thief. She stole. So she was a thief. And Jacob is a crook. So this is family dynamics. It's so bad. But God, being the God of second chance, he follows them. Now, on the way, when I was going through Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 18, it says, as Jacob was trotting on the old path that he walked as a fugitive, he started to think about the home where he came from, about what he did to the brother, about all the things that he had done. You know, when you go to your country, you start to think of the old things that you used to do. And that's what Jacob was thinking about. And the Bible says, as he was getting closer, he started to be afraid. The reason was because the mother, who was his defender, was dead. Isaac, the father, was dead. And the only person who was left there was the brother Esau. And Esau had been there for 20 years. He was holding the property for 20 years because his brother had already gone. So Esau was saying, okay, I'm the sole owner of all the whole land in Canaan. everything that was left by my father, it's all mine, and therefore it's all mine. Now when he heard that the brother is coming, then you know that old spirit came up again. The desire to murder and kill. And he says now, the crook is coming. I got to get ready and kill this guy. And by the way, the Bible says Esau was a mighty warrior. He was a soldier. And he was somebody who would go and run after animals. He was a strong guy. And Jacob knew that. And the Bible said Jacob was a guy who used to live in the tent. He was somebody who liked making soup, cooking soup, you know. And he was not all that strong. And he knew if they were going to have a fight with his brother, he was going to be mincemeat. He knew he was going to be destroyed completely. He knew that. Now, as he is going there, he could not go back to Laban because their relationship was messed up. Now, as they are going, the angels of the Lord, as he was moving on the south, the angels of the Lord appeared to him. And then they reassured him, oh, God is with you. And he gave the place a name. Okay, and as they were, he called the place, I'm forgetting the name, but I got the name here. He called the place a name because the angels of the Lord were with him. But you know, Jacob being Jacob, you know, old tricks, they are difficult to die. He still had a plan. He is like, okay, my brother is coming. I got to find a way in which I will survive. The Lord had already told him that go back. He gave him instructions, and he sent some angels to meet him. But he says, no, I got to have a plan here because the brother is coming. So here's the plan. What he did is, as they were crossing Jacob River, his plan was you sent a group of servants together with animals, livestock, to go and give to the brother so that the brother will be appeased. And then the plan also was that during the time when they are going, the servants will go first, and then second will be Leah, and third will be Rachel, and last will be Jacob. Can you see the plan? Servants and Leah, the unbeloved wife, ahead. And then if they kill the servants, then they kill Leah, and then they kill Rachel and Joseph, and then the last one will be who? Jacob. Selfish plan. When you got your money in your pocket, do you plan for others or do you plan for yourself? Young people, when you are getting your paycheck, do you put others in front or God in first? And you last? Because Jacob was trying to preserve his life. Okay, maybe in my homemade theology, maybe he was thinking, now if they all die, I will leave and then I will get another wife. But also when you go into the spirit of prophets, it says when he was left, that the plan that he had was that he wanted to be alone and pray to God. When I went through the passage and prophets, it says, during the night, when he was left alone, all the family members, they are away. It was dark. Mind you, there were no lights. Because young people are used to seeing lights. There were no lights. It was dark. And he was sleeping close to the bank of the river. And then suddenly, a powerful hand gets hold of him. And then the guy says, I'm gone. He had all the strength, and he started fighting. He started fighting with the stranger. They were struggling the whole night. The whole night they were struggling. As they were struggling, then the stranger, as the day was breaking, the stranger says to him, let me go. Let me go. And then Jacob, now, during that fight, the Bible says, as Jacob was prevailing, the stranger charged Jacob's hip. And then the hip was dislocated. So when the heap was dislocated, or when it came out of its place, Jacob was wincing in pain. He had excruciating pain. And then he realized that this individual that I've been fighting with is not a man. And then he kept on clinging to this guy or to this angel. And now this time he was not fighting. When you read your Bible, he was not fighting. He was holding on. And then the stranger says, "Let me go." And then he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And when you read the spirit of prophecies, when he stayed alone, he said to God, "You know, you brought me to this place. You called me to come from Padan Aram. And now I'm meeting my brother Esau, whom I've done bad. May you forgive me." He was asking forgiveness. And now as they were fighting, now as he was holding on, the stranger says, "Let me go. It's now daybreak." And he says, "I'm not going to let you go." The reason why he was saying that is because all his power was gone. All his gimmicks of conniving, of being sly, and of being a crook, they were all gone now. He had met God, and then God had touched him. Mind you, the Bible says, okay, he fought with God and he prevailed. There's no way you can fight with God and prevail, because it says the angel slightly touched him and then he dislocated. In other words, during that struggle, it was just a struggle between a heavenly being and an earthly being. But the heavenly being was just, it was a symbolic struggle. The heavenly being was just withholding power. Because when he was touched, it was dislocated. If it was a fight, Jacob was going to be dead within seconds. But because God is God of second chances, he did touch him. And then he said, and then that's when we go to the question that he was asked 20 years ago. Then the angel said, "What is your name?" Last time when he was asked, he said, "My name is Esau." And this time, because he was broken, all the conniving is gone. Now he just met God face to face. And he says, "My name is Jacob." And then the angel said, "Your name is not Jacob anymore. Your name is Israel, the overcomer. For you have struggled with God, and you have struggled with men and overcame." Now the question is, how do you struggle with God? Jacob spent the whole night in prayer struggling with God. The only way you can struggle with God and overcome is to spend the whole night in prayer. How many brothers and sisters here spend the whole night in prayer struggling with God? Or do you spend the whole night nagging your husband or your wife? Or nagging your brother or your sister? The only way you can overcome is to be in God, to be in prayer with God. Now, here's what is interesting. Now, the heavenly being leaves, and then the Bible says, as day was breaking, Jacob. Now, I've used this for the other young people to understand. Now, Jacob gets up in the morning. Now, he's going to fight Esau. He had sent a message, and Esau was coming with 400 armed men. They were not coming for love, but they were coming for a fight. Now, Jacob wakes up in the morning. All this time, he could run up and down. He could do a lot of stuff. But this time now, he's going to face a mighty warrior, and now he's walking with a limp. He's going to face Esau and his son, Judah, and Reuben, and Levi. They came in the morning, and then they said, "Daddy, what happened? How come you are walking with a limp, and we are going to meet Uncle Esau?" And then he said, "I was in prayer, and I was in a fight with the Lord last night, and something happened. God touched me. And when God touched me, I'm now walking with a limp." Then Reuben and Judah, they knew who Esau, they were told who Esau was. Now, how are you going to fight with Esau when you are walking with a limp? He says, "I'm limping, but I'm blessed. I was with the Lord last night, and he changed me. The battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. All these other years, it was me fighting. But this time, it's not my battle. It's the Lord's battle. You go to Psalms 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's battle. Now, the battle that Jacob was going to fight, it was not his battle, for he was limping. You know, when you read your Bible, it tells you that during the day, the break of the day in the morning, Jacob crossed over Jacob River, and he went into the Edom land. And when he was in the Edom land, he was limping. And when he met Esau coming, Esau is the one who ran, because Jacob could not run. Why? Because he was broken. Have you ever been touched by God? There are many of us, many times we do fight with God. When God says, do not do this, you continue fighting. Now, if you continue fighting with the Lord, guess what? You are going one day to be walking with a limp. And the Bible says, he walked with a limp the entire life. He was limping. But the good news is this, that he's a God of second chances. Although he was walking with a limp, but he was an overcomer. Why? Because selfishness was gone. Conniving was gone. Because he had met the master. And then he knew now that the battle was not his. It belonged to God. What battle do you have? And there's something that is very interesting. One of the most interesting statements in the Bible is this. When Jacob is asked, what is your name? He says, my name is Jacob. That name was given by the mother and the father. And it means a crook. But then God gave me a new name. At times people can give you a name. They can call you a prostitute. They can call you a thief. They can call you a conniver. They can call you a truth breaker. They can call you a rapist. They can call you all sorts of names. But the good news is this, there's a new name. When I am in Jesus, I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. And I would rather be called, be given a name by God, rather than being given a name by man. And if I'm a crook, what it means is, if I was a crook yesterday, but today during the daybreak, God changed my name. I'm no longer called who people called me. I'm now a new person, and God calls me an overcomer. Why an overcomer? Because through the blood of Jesus, I am an overcomer. And you know, that's why Jacob called Jehovah Elohai, the Almighty God of Israel. Because God was with him. In closing, like Jacob, seek the Lord on your own. Set aside a special time on your own and have time with God in prayer. Confess your sins. Allow God to take control. Let God give you a new name. Let God transform your life. Allow God to break you. You can walk up with a limp, but blessed. Let God increase and you decrease. Because when you look at the whole thing, for the past 20 years, Jacob was trying to increase. But this time, on this particular night, he decreased and God increased and surrendered to God. And hence he walked with a limp, but he was a blessed man. The battle does not belong to you. The battle belongs to God. Very soon on daybreak, you will be walking in Edom country. Edom country meaning in the country of victory. Your enemy will be no more. The Bible says in a little while, the holy temple will be filled with smoke. And Jesus will get out of the temple. And the time of trouble will begin. You need to be in prayer with God. You need to be in connection with heaven. Until when you are in connection with heaven, there will be no heaven for you. There will be no victory until when you give up, until when you are broken. Don't fight with God. There are many battles in your life. Follow God's principles. When God is saying no, he's saying no. It's for your own good. And finally, I was reading this week on the news. There's a lady from Sudan. She got married to a Christian. And she left the Christian, the Muslim religion. 3-4 days ago, she was sentenced to death. She's 8 months pregnant. And they said they'll give her 2 years so that she'll give birth, nurse a child, and then will be hanged or will be shot. The judge asked her 3 times, you need to recant. And she said no. The judge said, we gave you 3 days to do this. And she said, no, I will stand for Christ. She was transformed. When other people are dying for this gospel, what are you doing? Is he fighting God? I don't know what is going on in your life. But you've got some battles that you have. And you've got some areas that you know things are not okay. Get in touch with the man. And have God break you. So that you'll be like Jacob when you get a second chance. And then you'll become victorious. And let God change your name. From nagging wife, nagging husband, swindler, crook, to the Son of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, who is ready for the second coming of Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.